Good morning, we're doing Zechariah. We're up to the first chapter, the 14th Pasuk. And we had seen that Zechariah is the prophet, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, are the final prophets that we have. They're prophesizing the beginning of the period of the Second Temple. They were members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the men of the Great Assembly. And we had seen that Rashi says that Zechariah is a difficult prophecy. Rashi says he's going to do his best to explain, but it's not so clear exactly what he's seeing. And so far the prophecy is relatively clear. As we advance, we're going to see that Rashi says, well, maybe this and maybe that. But at this point, Zechariah, the son of the prophet Berechia, says to the Jewish people, don't be like your forefathers. Look at what's happened to them. Go in the way of my Torah and you will be successful. And then Hashem shows the prophet, he shows Zechariah a vision of a horseman standing on his horse, a red horse, in the midst of Hadassim, in the swamps. And after him, there are many red horses and all kinds of colored horses. And the angel tells him, I'll explain to you what you're seeing. These are the ones who have been sent. These are the armies, the forces that have been sent to see how the nations are sitting in tranquility while God's people are suffering on earth. And that's really what happens. The angels come and they report, look at how the rest of the world seems to have tranquility and the God's people are suffering. And so the angel asks Hashem, till when will you let this go on? When will you again have mercy over Jerusalem and the cities of Judea? It's been 70 years and they're in destruction. And God says words of comfort. And that's where we left off. The introduction is, Hashem replied with words of comfort. And in Pasuk Yud Daled, we continue, Vayomer Elai Hamalach HaDover Bikra Lemor Koamar Adonai Tzevaot. So the angel tells me, I want you to declare, I want you to publicize the following prophecy. Kineti lirushalayim ulzion kinah gedola. I have come with anger. I have come to avenge the destruction of Jerusalem and Zion. I have come with great vengeance, for I have great anger against the nations. Vekitzif gadol ani kotzef al hagoyim ashananim. And I am very angry at the nations that are living in tranquility. That's the report I get from these angels. Asher ani katzafti me'at ve'heima azeru lera'a. That I angered slightly at my chosen people, and therefore I gave capacity for the nations to overtake them. Ve'heima azeru lera'a. And they took it way further. They decided to go way beyond the call of duty in harming my people. And this pasuk has been the formula of how we understand our exile. That on the one hand, God gave us into the hands of the nations because we deserved it. But we deserved a certain amount, and they went above and beyond that amount once we were under their rule. And that's what they're going to be punished for. Ani katzafti me'at v'hema azeru l'ra'ad. You'll see this pasuk quoted often among the commentaries because this has been the formula for understanding our whole period of exile. Chazal tell us that when Moshe came to Pharaoh the first time, so it says that Pharaoh said, you guys obviously aren't working hard enough, so now the Jews have to collect their own straw. So Chazal say that the Jew had to fulfill the same quota, as the Pasuk says, and now he had to get the straw as well. So how would he do that? He'd have to crawl into an Egyptian field and try to get some hay, to get some straw. The Egyptian would come out of his house and see the Jew crawling into his field, and he'd pick up his bat and start beating the Jew and breaking his legs. How dare you come into my field to take my straw? So what's the Jew supposed to do? The king told me you have to get straw. So after Moshe came to Pharaoh the first time, what happened was the Jews were stuck. They'd try, and then they'd get beaten by the average Egyptian who'd say, who are you? Why do you think you're going to get straw from my field? And that's when Moshe turns to Hashem and says, why'd you send me? It's only gotten worse. So that begs the question, well, what was God thinking? Why did God have it play itself out this way? So one of the explanations that's given is that until that point, the Egyptians could have said, we were just following orders. Pharaoh could have killed us had we not persecuted the Jews, had we not been the policemen over them during the labor camps. So what Hashem did was Hashem set up a situation where every Egyptian in his own private field would encounter a Jew, knowing full well that the Jew had no choice but to come into the field to collect hay. And then the Egyptian would have his own decision, where Pharaoh had indicated to the Jews they had to collect hay, and the Egyptian would no longer be able to say, you know, I was following orders. There were no orders, quite the contrary. The orders were for the Jews to collect their own hay. And then the Egyptian personally went and beat the Jew that would crawl into his field. And after that, only after that did God bring the plagues against all the Egyptians, so that the Egyptians had no way to claim, so to speak, in the heavenly court, you know, it's not our fault, we were under the king. What do you want from us? And we saw similar things in the Holocaust, that there were many ordinary citizens who volunteered to give over Jews and murder Jews, and they have no claim. So Hashem says, "Ani ketzafti me'at." It's true. I angered slightly against my people. Ve'hema, but they azeru l'ra'ah. They took it way above and beyond the extent that I had intended. I gave the Jews under their rule. I gave them the capacity to rule over the Jews. They took advantage of that to try and annihilate them and to torture them.
לכן כה אמר אדוני שבתי לירושלים ברחמים ביתי ייבנה בה נאום אדוני צבאות וקו יינתה על ירושלים.
Being that they have been so harmful to my people, so Hashem says, out of my mercy I will return to Jerusalem. Even though the Jews have not repented. As the Torah really states, that it is not because of our piety, but because of their sins, that Hashem steps up to help us out. And so Hashem says, I will rebuild the temple, and I will bring back the monarchy to Israel. Lachen, therefore, as a result of their actions, Ko'amal Hashem, so says Hashem, Shavti liYerushalayim berachamim. I return to Jerusalem out of my own mercy, not because they deserve it, but because I am merciful over Jerusalem. Beiti baneba, and so my house will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. Neum Hashem tzvakot, so says Hashem, who controls the armies of the world. Vekav yinateh al Yerushalayim, and you will see builders extending their strings. Their strings used to be how they used to build in a straight line. So they'd take a string and hang a weight at the end of the string, and then that string would obviously hang straight. And that was the way they'd measure the stones, the bricks that they were building, to ensure that nothing was jutting out on either side, that everything was straight. So Hashem says, Kav yinateh, you'll see strings hanging over Jerusalem. That's like the equivalent of our saying today, you'll see scaffolds all over Jerusalem. That's the sign of building going on. So the city will be rebuilt. Od kira leimor ko amar Adonai tzevaot od tefutzena arai mitov. God says, I want you to declare another thing. I want you to publicize another prophecy to the people. And tell them, od tefutzena arai mitov. My cities will still be scattered. The people will spread out as they inhabit the land of Israel, because things will be so good for them. V'nicham Adonai od etzion uvachar od birushalayim. And God will continue to comfort Jerusalem as the redemption comes. Zion will be comforted, and Jerusalem will again be Hashem's chosen city. And here it's unclear among the commentaries. It seems that the commentaries understood that the prophecy, so to speak, takes a jump forward. Meaning, initially the prophet was talking about the rebuilding of the second temple. And here the commentaries want to say that this final pasuk, that's the second prophecy that Hashem says, Od kralemo, I want you to declare another declaration. that there's still an even greater future of good for Jerusalem. There's going to be a time where Jerusalem will be inhabited, and that inhabitants will be the final choosing of Jerusalem, so to speak, where Hashem says, that's it. From here on in, I'm not leaving. Which is interesting, because we pointed out in the book of Haggai, the previous book we learned, that just like when the first temple was built, there was already a prophecy it would be destroyed, so too the prophet Haggai told the Jewish people, as they're building the second temple, it's not going to be forever. This isn't the final resting place. Which on the one hand could be very depressing. You're just starting to build and then you're already told it's going to be destroyed. On the other hand, it's an encouragement that Hashem says, but there is a future. Meaning it's not a coincidence that the temple was destroyed. It was already prophesied about before the first coming to Israel. The Jews already in Oz Yashir, as they left Mitzrayim, were already prophesizing there'd be a second coming. They haven't yet entered the first time. They're already prophesizing about the second time. And as they're about to enter the second time, the prophet Haggai says, very good, we're going to build, we're going to succeed, but this isn't it, there's going to be a third time. Okay, so in hindsight, that's an encouragement. And I don't know, during the second temple, that would be, to me, that would be a depressing thing. It's like when God tells Adam he's going to die. From the minute you know you're going to die, so then all of life is an advancement towards death. Same thing with the temple. So you're building, but I guess you could prolong it. We all know we're going to die and we're not depressed about it, right? So I guess they weren't too depressed about the temple either. The Navi says, I lifted my eyes and I saw, which would seem to be a metaphoric term because the prophet does not visualize the prophecies with his physical eyes. And behold, there were four corners, or there were four horns. Keren could mean a corner, keren could mean a horn. And this is a reference to the four kingdoms that come from the four edges of the earth to gore the Jewish people. Those are the four kingdoms that took us down. And there's a Rashi later on in Zechariah that quotes a Medrash Tehillim, that the Medrash says in Tehillim that the nations that attacked the Jewish people always came in pairs. There was Bavel together with Kastin, Madai, the Mede Empire, together with Paras, the Persian Empire. Yavan, the Greek Empire, came with Mukdon, with Macedon. And finally, Edom and Yishmael. We'll see that Rashi later on in Zechariah, but that's really, it's not Rashi's invention, it's a Medrash in Tehillim, which means that right now we're contending with the fourth empire, which is that duality of Obama-Abbas, I mean, I don't know, however you'll describe it, it's Edom and Yishmael together. So those are the four horns. The Russian you won't get, but at least the Hebrew you know. Sukbet. Va'omar el ha-malach ha-dover bi ma'ele. So I said to the angel, I asked him, what is it? What am I seeing? Which again is an indication of the lower level of prophecy that Zechariah was on. Zechariah is always asking, what am I seeing? Just like Daniel is repeatedly asking, what am I seeing? What's the interpretation? You don't find Yeshayah asking that. Quite the contrary. God asks Yeshayah, what do you see? Yeshayah answers. God asks Yirmiyahu. God asks Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah says. But here you repeatedly see how Zechariah asks, what am I seeing? What's going on? And the same thing with Daniel. It's a lower level. This is as prophecy is leaving the Jewish people. These are the last prophets. And as we described in the Ramban and in the Ran, that because they were the last prophets, so their prophecy was on a lower level. Vayomer elai ele hakranot asher zeru et Yehudah. Et Yisrael v'Yerushalayim. So God answers him. God says, these are the horns that will gore, that will scatter my people Israel, that scatter Judea and Jerusalem. These are the nations that will harm them, as though they gore them. That's why they're compared to horns. Vayareini Adonai arba'a chorashim. So then God showed me four people who who are skilled. Chorashim are people who know how to like woodcutters. They know how to cut things down. Va'omar ma eile ba'im la'asot. So I said to God, what are these guys coming? What are these skilled craftsmen coming to do? So they're really coming down to take down the horns. Vayomer leimor eile hakeranot asher zeru et Yehuda kefi ish lo nasa harosh. God answers me. And God tells me, eile hakeranot, being that these horns, they scattered the people, being that they're the ones that harmed my people. So because of them, the Jewish people were downtrodden. They couldn't lift their heads. So that's why these skilled workers have come to scare these horns, to take them down, being that they lifted their horn against Judea and scattered the people from Israel. So these skilled workers are an allusion to each king that conquered that empire that hurt us. Meaning, no empire lasted forever. So the final skilled worker is the Mashiach, who's going to take down the final empire. So it's interesting that he's seeing them in fours. And that's the idea of that there'd be four kingdoms, including the Babylonian Empire, which was already taken down in Zechariah's time. But here we see the importance of the number four, which gives us another understanding as to the number four in the Haggadah on Pesach night. We know that on Pesach night, our celebration is divided, and the message we give to the children is really a dual message. One aspect is we're commemorating the Exodus from Egypt. But the other point we're telling the child on Pesach night is that we are still the chosen people. Meaning there are two points here that we're telling the child. We're telling him this is our history, but this is also our future. And that's why Pesach night is really divided in as part of Matchil Begnut Umseim B'Shevach, the recounting of our history, how we started off, and then finally we made it out and things got better. And then you see the whole end of the Haggadah is the focus on the future. Where are we headed to? Well, maybe that's also why we have to talk about the number four in the Haggadah. Because the number four is a number that represents our history and our future. Both. The idea that just as we overcame the Egyptian Empire, we're still going to overcome the empires that remain. And so Hashem shows him the four, even though really one is past. There are only three left to go. But it's a set. And so Hashem shows him the four skilled workers coming. These four workers are coming to scare them. Leyadot et kalnot hagoyim, to knock down the horns of the nations. Hanoseim keren el eretz Yehuda lezarota. These four nations that have lifted their horns to scatter Judea. And that's the prophecy about the nations. And then he's going to continue with the prophecy who's coming to the prophecy about how Jerusalem will be again settled. And that's what we'll learn Be'ezrat Hashem next week, where he sees the next angel coming and he's got new work to do. And that angel is going to describe to him about how great Jerusalem is going to be and how it's going to be inhabited, as we will see Be'ezrat Hashem next week.